ended up being $1.3 million in volume, which translates into a $33,000 sale. And that was all in an afternoon because preparation.
Hey, it's Macy and Kat. We're not salespeople. We are the sales girls. Welcome to the School of Sales podcast, the podcast for women who know that making sales is an absolute necessity for you to keep doing what you love in your business. So let us help you make it not suck so much and help you make some money while we're at it. Let's get right into it. Kelly, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited for everyone to hear from you, a realtor and a sales girl.
Oof, love it. Love that sales girl title. I'm here for it. I'm happy to be here.
You're so awesome. So everyone, Kelly, she's a realtor and she has been in the sales girl bubble for a while, over 3 years. And not only has she learned herself, she's also coached probably 100 or more of the, School of Sales, the Academy students, and has just stayed growing all the time. And I've known her since she was here in the very beginning, of course. And she's told story after story, and I've watched her evolve and grow and become a leader in the sales world, specifically in the real estate industry. So I'm really excited for you to hear her stories and insights and wisdom around that industry. And she's going to be an incredible wealth of just knowledge and guidance. So Kelly, I want you to share your just your background and overview of where you are and who or where you come from and who you are.
Sure. Yeah. No, I am. So I've been in the business since, well, let's go back. I've been licensed since 2013. And prior to that, I was the brokerage that I was at, I was their assistant. So in 2011, I decided that this was something that I wanted to pursue. So in 2013, I got my real estate license. And prior to that, I was an assistant for the brokerage that I was with since 2011. So when I was in college, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I initially had gone to college for to be a lawyer. So I was going through and I was studying law, and my minor was in political science. And I really was just thinking that this was going to be the right path for me. Well, the school that I had chosen to go to because of a soccer scholarship didn't necessarily have a whole lot of background on law. And so it was like, well, this is what we can offer you. And then you can go to law school and do your thing. And what came with that was a business degree. And so I started to realize that I had way more fun in my business classes than I was having in my law classes. Like, it just was not like I had to work so much harder in my law classes than I had to work in my business classes. And I wasn't nearly having as much fun. So I thought to myself, I said, okay, hey, how do I marry this into a career that I really like? And at the time I was working sales, like retail sales in the mall. And I had a friend who had decided that she was going to pursue a career in real estate. I was like, well, that sounds really fun. Like, that sounds like a good time. I'm in. Like, let me try this. And so she was actually leaving the assistant position that I ended up taking when I transferred into that position. And so the whole premise of me taking this job was to get get experience for when I got my license. So I was very upfront with my prior bosses, and I was like, I want to be able to get my license. And so a couple of years down the road, I think it was almost like, it wasn't quite 2 years, but it was right in there. And I decided, okay, this is the time. I'm going to get my license. And I was so excited, but I was also so nervous to leave a steady paycheck. And I got some of the best advice that I have ever gotten in my life. And it was, you're either going to sink or you're going to swim. And so I just decided, I was like, no, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go in, you know, full-heartedly, and we're going to swim. So when I got my license in 2013, I ended up getting my broker's license in 2015, which was 2 years later. You had to have a number of sales and you had to have time in the office and to be able to do that. And so I got my broker's license. Broker's license just means that you can supervise other people. At that time, the brokerage that I was with, the owners came to me and asked me if I would like to buy in because they enjoyed what I was doing. They liked, you know, the the name that I was setting for myself, essentially. I said, absolutely, you know, no commission splits. Heck yeah. I mean, I didn't really fully understand what they were asking me until we started having our first couple team meetings. And I'm like, oh, wait, like this is actually a huge opportunity to grow a business. And so as we go through, I bought in 2016 and we ran that brokerage together up until 2021. At that time, they were really thinking about getting out of the business and what retirement might look like for them. And it was really hard to, one, be a person who wants to grow a business and then also have, you know, 2/3 of the partnership be like, well, just not really sure what we want to do yet. So, which no fault for them, like this is their baby and this is, they're entitled to do whatever they want. So I ended up finding EXP right around the same time. And I pivoted and ended up going, hanging my license with EXP as a real estate agent with them. And so I've been with EXP ever since. And I have since started my own real estate group, which is Ignited. And we have about 13 of us now, and we're just growing. So it's been fun. It's been a while.
Wow. I can't wait to dive into you growing your own brokerage. Yeah. I want to back up a little bit before we do that, but it's such a big deal. And so when we think about how you know, one, your mindset to sink or swim, right? Real estate is no salary. It's all or nothing. You're either going to make commission or you're not. It's either going to be big or small. You know, it's really so much in your court. And that is selling in general. And so as you've experienced the sink or swim to making a name for yourself, to all these, you know, I almost picture them like notches on your belt, right? Like they seem so simple to us, but truly this has been over a decade in the making for you. What is your philosophy like on selling through this whole like decade?
So I've always felt like I am an avid learner. And that is something that I've attributed a lot of where I'm at now from where I was. And one of the things that I fear a lot, especially with new agents, especially as they come into the Ignited family, a lot of them are, well, I don't want anybody to know that I'm new. And it's like, well, no, like, that's okay. Like, it's okay for you to like lean into your newness, and it's okay for you to be like, hey, I'm not sure yet, but let me find out, you know, that kind of thing. So my philosophy is pretty simple, is that real estate agents are educated advisors, and educated consumers make really good decisions. So as you're growing in your craft, and as you're growing and as you're learning in your industry, that's where that can translate into giving the consumer the information that they need to be able to make a really good choice. Because ultimately that's what you want, is for them to be super happy with their purchase.
100%. You just said a couple of really powerful things I do not want to get missed, that when you're new, you can so be proud of being new. And when you have the know-how to go get that information, become educated brick by brick, step by step, you can serve people almost equally well. You know, it might not be as fast. I would say maybe that's the biggest factor. Like you have the answer in your head, but that's life. We're all learning. And so what you demonstrated is something that people just don't do when they're insecure about being new, is they say, oh, I don't know, I'm new. They honestly turn the mirror back on them. Mm-hmm. And how it's, you know, something that they don't know or don't have. When you said, oh, you know, I'm not sure about that. Let me go find out. I'll get right back to you. It's immediately ball in your court. I'm going to get this for you. And then they advise, again, maybe not as fast as someone who is experienced and right off the bat, but what kind of a consumer doesn't want someone to be ready and able and excited to go get that information? So round of applause for that being how you mentor people.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. It's been, you know, it evolves, right? Like everything, like your journey evolves, you evolve, like where I was in, well, I still am, like, I'm still very much heavily into production and this is, I'm still selling and listing and buying and all the things, but the philosophy has never changed. Even as my experience has grown, as my knowledge has grown, the philosophy still stays the same, because one, the market is ever changing. And so we're learning, especially this year, holy Moses, I've learned more about lending this year than I have ever learned. And I, by no means, am going to sit here and be like to my clients, be like, okay, this is what you need to do to construct your loan. But I am going to say, hey, talk to your lender about these options. They might be of service to you. But I wouldn't know what to say if I didn't know the premise of it. You know what I mean? So we're always constantly learning. We're always constantly evolving. We've never arrived. Like, that's where I think adopting the mentality of being a learner always is something that's just so powerful, and it's going to serve you in so many ways.
100%. I can tell that you are so client focused, which is really just amazing. One of the things I find so cool about the concept of real estate is that sales in general are, salespeople are the highest paid people in the world. You can't make commission as high in any college degree job that you can in sales. And we'll tell you some stories about work you've done, which is really exciting. But what's the most fascinating is that the interaction and the way that you get those commissions is through conversations more than in probably any industry. I think real estate is so tangibly human to human. And I would love to hear your experience, any stories that you have. I just think the correlation is interesting. The highest paid people are the ones who are in the most conversations, have the most at stake dealing with people. Hello.
Yes, no, it's so true. One of my favorite quotes from a mentor that I've had for years is, there's no ceiling in real estate, but there's also no floor. There is no floor when it comes to real estate. You can make $0. You can make negative dollars if you invest into your business that year and don't sell anything. Like, that's a very true thing, as is with any type of sales. What I find interesting is that real estate agents are genuinely ranked, generally ranked some of the lowest trusted people in the sales bubble, right? Like, they were like one step above car salesmen. And wow. it's so crazy to me that is the general scope, that is the general idea of what a real estate agent is when they are helping to guide you in one of the largest purchases of your life. For most people, it is the largest transaction of their life. And so we have a duty to be able to serve them in a capacity that matches the caliber of the transaction, if that makes sense. So I think that's where the idea of like high stake conversations or like high pressure conversations, like that kind of thing. Like, there's a lot of pressure on a real estate agent to not only serve their client very well, who is very emotional at this time, right? Like, this is a big deal. Buying and selling a house is a very big deal. It's also up to the real estate agent to converse with the other side of the deal. Most often than not, we're not representing both sides. We have another agent that we're working with who also needs to communicate with their client. And then we have a lender, and we usually have a title company or a lawyer to close the property. So it's a handful of people that you're in conversation with all the time that need to be updated on a regular basis on what is happening with this transaction. First and foremost, your client, obviously, and then probably second most, the buyer or the seller or the other agent on the other side. And so it becomes a really, yeah, there's a lot at stake, right? Like, there's, based on your conversations and how you're handling yourself and how you approach the situation. So there's been so many times where agents will come and they're just so like worried, right? They're so worried about this conversation, and they need to get it right. They're like, I have to have this conversation right. Otherwise XYZ won't happen. And if we just, it's kind of wild, because I feel like the answer to being under pressure is to take the pressure off, to make it objective, to make it about the client, because then that's when it truly becomes about the client, is when you can take the pressure off of yourself to make this sale. Because then you're genuinely looking at them being like, okay, what do you need in this moment? And how can I provide that for you? And that's all a transaction is a series of, what do you need? How can I provide it? And you probably do that 10, 15 times through a transaction, probably even more, you know, depending on where it is.
100%.
So, you know, when you adopt that philosophy, it becomes easy.
I didn't know that about how low trust is in real estate. So with all the sales and the sales girlness that you have, what would you tell somebody who is struggling in conversations and they put that pressure on themselves and maybe even somebody else? What would you tell them, knowing what you know about sales skills?
I would tell, so let's think about like what breeds confidence in a conversation, right? It goes back to product knowledge or what you know about the industry. So if you're not feeling confident in an area of the industry, go learn about that industry. Go learn about, a lot of the times, especially with my agents, they'll talk, I don't know how to talk about market data. Okay. Like, let's go back to the basics then. And let's go look at some market data and how to analyze it. And then be able to, once you know something really well, you're able to converse it in a really confident way. And it's kind of like that cycle. Like, what's that cycle where when you learn something and then you showcase your skill, you build the confidence and you want to go learn again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the
confidence, like, competence loop, I believe.
Yes. So as long as you are, again, going back to being a learner, but when you're starting, like, and you're like, I'm so nervous about this conversation, think about the type of conversation that you're having, whether that's a listing appointment, whether that's a buyer consult, whether that's just even like talking to your sphere about, I mean, how many agents here, I'm sure they can raise their podcast hands. If somebody's asked you, how's the market? Like, that's literally the number one question that I get on a daily basis. And so to be able to give them actual localized information that isn't just, oh, it's good. You know, like, they want to know, like, they're asking you, it's an opportunity for you to showcase what you know, thus building your confidence. And then you're going to want to go learn again. So I would dive deep into the areas that you're not confident in and study them and bring something to you.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you feel like once they have knowledge, like, then approach people this way? Like, if you just said, this is what you do. Approach people with knowledge this way. What advice would you give them?
Well, I think it depends on who you are as a person too. Like, not everybody runs the same business, right? Like, so I think that's where that also comes into play of, think about who you are authentically. Because if you're trying to go be like, you know, top producer Joe, who does business this way, but it's not authentic to you in your business, well, then it's not going to come off, you know, great to the consumer. We're trying to be something that we're not. So again, I think marrying like who you are as a person and how you like to serve people, and then creating your line of business that way. Because not only, again, are you going to be confident because it's who you are as a person, you're not trying to mimic or compare yourself to somebody else. You're really blazing your own trail.
100%.
That's where people in any industry, when they're starting something new, I mean, it's easy to look for inspiration in other places. But I think when you can get quiet, you can say, hey, how do I like to serve people? what is the way that is authentic for me that, you know, people really seem to like, what, where can I connect with that?
So, and let me ask you this. One thing that's really cool about you is that you have had a lot of agents join your brokerage who have also learned sales skills, who are obviously multiple different personalities. You're different from them. They're different from you. What have you seen, like, in the way that they bring their authentic human nature and personalities into selling real estate?
You know, it's cool. It's really fun to see the Guide Culture grads come through and how they apply that to real estate, because everybody does it differently. And it's really fun to see. But I think the biggest thing for real estate agents and people within the Guide Culture bubble, they'll understand this, is to get really curious about your prospect. Get really curious. And so that's probably the number one thing that I see from like School of Sales grads is how curious they get with their client, and then be able to tailor the process that way. So it's cool. It's really neat. Like, but yeah, so I have a handful of them on our team, and they just get curious. They're like, well, what about this? What about this? What do you think this person needs? And it's just, the conversation's different. It's cool.
So,
and then
cool.
They raise the bar for everybody else.
I think that is what, across any industry whatsoever, when you can understand somebody, and curiosity breeds understanding, right? That intrigue. You know, tell me more about you. Like, what's the story here? Why are you moving? You know, what are you looking forward to in this district, or whatever the case? You're intrigued by them. It breeds the stories and the understanding and the diversity of their thoughts and their life. And all of a sudden, the word tailoring is so nice. You can tailor and curate and pick and pull and just present them a beautiful, organized presentation. It's like you're giving them a gift.
Yeah.
That says, you know, based on what you just told me, X, Y, and Z sound like the perfect fit for your family. Do you want to go look at this house today or tomorrow? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes your life so much easier. Have you felt that?
1000%. I have felt that. It's so interesting. Like I think about as you're talking, I'm thinking about our buyer consult. So the buyer consult that I train on inside of our team, and it is rooted in curiosity when you would think that it would be rooted in fact, and it's not. It's very much like, tell me about this. Tell me about this. Tell me about your experience. Tell me about like, hey, tell me about who referred you. Like, you know, like tell, like, what was that? Like, how was that experience? And we don't even get into nitty gritty probably until 8 or 9 questions in, just depending on, you know, just depending on how the conversation flows. And so it's, I think, and I've had, I mean, I've done buyer's consult, hundreds of them. And more often than not, people walk away and they're like, this is exactly what I needed when figuring out how to buy a property in Montana. Like that, or like wherever they are, you know, I'm in Montana. So that's why I say that. But
yeah,
just being able to give them that framework of let them tell you how they like to be served and then serve them in that way.
Amen. You know, I want to reconcile these two sides of the coin because everything has two sides. You said, hey, know your stuff, have your product knowledge. That is going to frame up your confidence in such a massive way. And the way that you initially train your people, your army of real estate girlies, you and guys, I'm sure you help them see the curiosity that is available to them. And what that does is actually give you the answers to the test. See, for anyone listening, what people want is for, they won't tell you this, but they want you to uncover the value that they want. They want help guide them into seeing, you know, what is the possible best decision for them based on the history and the desires and the pain points and all this stuff. Then you just match. You just make a match. What you have to offer, the knowledge you have with what the things that they told you. And so you're saying like, carry this product knowledge with you so that when they tell you what all the answers that you've asked about, it's like the two heart necklaces. They just come together. The knowledge and the curiosity meet.
It's a really good experience. It's, you know, people just want to be seen and heard.
Mm-hmm. They really do.
That is the root of everything. People want to be seen and heard. And when you're dealing with such an emotional, for the most part, you're going to have an investor or two that's just worried about money, you know, like, which is great. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, people are pretty emotional when it comes to their homes and selling their house or upgrading or moving. Like, it's a really busy time. And so when you can create the environment to where you've built that rapport with them, they feel really connected to you, and they feel very, you're trusted. You're in their trusted circle. Not only are you handling, you know, again, one of their biggest financial assets that they have, but you're also, you know, helping guide their family to a whole new chapter of life. And that's like, that's a big deal. So it warrants the preparation that comes with building your knowledge and your curiosity at the same time.
Absolutely. You have told me a lot of stories over the years, and I would love to hear that story about being at an open house. And, you know, I've never hosted an open house, but I imagine that it feels like a lot of opportunity, and maybe there's not always something that comes of it every time. But yeah, you have really created a very cool, I don't want you to tell the whole, like every story. I want you to tell this one that I am addicted to hearing and I haven't heard it in a long time. So I want everyone to hear this story about this man who came into an open house and then how you've used this framework for future open houses.
It's a good story. Let me, I need to tell some backstory on it.
Yeah.
The mindset is totally night and day. I used to hate open houses. I thought they were the biggest waste of time. I thought that, you know, what do you have? What, like, you're just spending 2 hours of your weekend just sitting here opening these doors, and which is the wrong mindset. This is what not to do. This was not correct. And so I went through some things in my business, and I was able to kind of open up my eyes, especially through a guide culture training where we were talking about our one message. And I was like, you know what, like our one message, or like our mission, like our philosophy is real estate agents are educated advisors. And so I need to be able to filter everything that I do through that philosophy so that when people see me, they see an educated advisor, because that's everything that we do. And so with this new open house, I had an opportunity. I had a listing, a great listing, one of the highest listings that I had at the time. And it was, I'm like, you know what? Like, what if we just went for it? What if we just went for it? And I thought of every single thing that an educated advisor would do when it came to an open house. So not only did we have information, like detailed information about the house, I thought about every single question that somebody is asking about these properties. And I wrote them all down on a sheet so I could hand them off, you know, like just really trying to think about answering the questions ahead of time. And so, but then again, well, okay. So like, let's say that somebody's not interested in this house. Maybe they want to see what other properties are available in the area. We had a resource for that. Okay. Maybe they're a nosy neighbor and they just want to see what this listing has to offer to see if their house is anything similar. We have a home evaluation tool. Okay, great. Let's make that accessible for people. We just really tried. Maybe they're a mom with a, you know, cranky toddler in the back that just needs to get outside and they need to go for a walk and they need to do something new. We had cookies. You know, just something that really serves everyone in a kind and understanding way. And so I had this family come through, and particularly this man, and he's kind of walking around a little nervous, you know, like kind of like shuffling around. He's like, oh, we like this. Okay, awesome. Well, do you have any questions? And he handed me the book as far as the questions that he had, but because of the preparation, I was able to answer every question that he had. And so he walked out and was like, okay, he's like, sounds great. And just as I was like kind of closing up shop, he comes back in and he goes, so what do we have to do to lock this up? I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, I want to buy this house, but I don't have an agent. And so come to find out, he's from California. California, they do not do what we call dual agency. Dual agency is still very much prominent. In Montana, it's where you represent the buyer and the seller at the same time. So he was very nervous even asking me. I think he was asking me for a referral of somebody that I could like pass him along to. And I was like, well, I can do it. And I will never forget the look on his face. And he was like, you can? And I was like, yeah. And so we talked about it. And ironically, I actually do quite a bit of dual agency. Where it gets a little messy sometimes is you can't always, you know, you're not going to be able to go to the seller and be like, oh, the buyer's willing to offer this. Like, that's unethical. And vice versa. You're not able to go to the buyer and be like, hey, the seller's actually going to take this. Your hands become a little bit tied on what information you're able to share with both parties. So the communication needs to be spot on and the trust needs to be high. So I don't do it with everybody, but when there is a situation like this where I've established trust with a buyer where he's like, no, we really don't want to use anybody else. We want to use you and we want to buy this house. Okay, great. And when I have trust with my seller because of how we've prepped and how we have established our authority in the market, dual agency works really well. So we were able to, it ended up being $1.3 million in volume, which translates into a $33,000 sale. And that was all in an afternoon because preparation. And he, to this day, is one of my like favorite, like he texts me all the time. Like wow. They do updates to the house and they're like, they send me pictures and they're just the sweetest family in the whole entire world. And I would have never had that opportunity had I not prepped the way that I did. So not only was it great sale, but I also, and they refer me all the time now. Like, it's crazy.
I might need the math on all those referral commissions.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because things, the credibility, the ability to be trusted, the ability to be believed. Okay. What you just said, high trust and a very emotional purchase, yes. Huge purchase. It is so much more about what you do than what you say.
Yes.
And what Kelly just described is all that she did to prepare, did for her own knowledge, did for the potential experience that her clients would have. And if a sale happened, that sounded like honestly the least of your concern. What you said was, what if we went for it? What if we went for it and served every person who came through this door in unique ways? You know, in High Performance Habits, Brendan Burchard, he says, underperformers ask, why does no one see my value? High performers ask, how can I serve in unique ways? And that is exactly what you did. And I'll never look at a chocolate chip cookie the same because of the mom with the toddler. I get it.
Yeah.
And so, quote, luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Yeah.
And when one of the greatest beliefs I've developed over my course of being a sales girl is that sales girls stay ready. you'll never be perfect, but as prepared and as ready as you can be to meet anybody at any time, because service is not about you, right? And everyone's like, selling is serving. I'm like, yeah, but are you prepared?
Yeah. Oh, amen. Oh, I love that. Yes.
Right? Like, do you really want to serve them? Because it looks like you've been worried a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
But if you prepared and you're ready and you, and even just like that product knowledge, it just, what that does is it allows you to be curious, to get the book thrown at you, and you can stay calm. You can stay in like the parasympathetic nervous system. You don't go into fight or flight because you're ready. Someone who's ready to, what is like, you know, if you get punched in the face, you're probably going to freak out. But if you knew someone was about to punch you in the face, you'd be like, whoa, I'm going to like just move to the side a little bit. No big deal. You know, you're ready.
It's so true. I think when you're ready, you're confident, and people feel that confidence. And when you're talking about such a high ticket sale, that you need to be, your buyer or your seller, or your client needs you to be confident. You have 100. If you are not, there's no way that you are going to build trust. Goes back to product knowledge.
Do you think that's where a lot of people making high ticket sales are missing the boat?
I think they put a lot of pressure on the sale. I love what you guys say about sales is a marathon, not a sprint. And it's because it's true. Like when it comes to open house, just because we're on the open house train, like you're not necessarily like going from 0 to 100, 0 to sold is very, it's great. That wasn't the goal. The goal was to get him sold on being able, the knowledge of the property. You know what? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I want to go back. It is important to obviously like set up the house and be like, okay, I'm here to sell this property. No doubt about it. But when it comes to somebody who's a potentially disqualified person, as far as if they're even in the market for the property or not, like how can you get them to the next step? And maybe their next step is different than a hot to trot home buyer, right? Like, so it's, I think it goes back to, when you have the product knowledge and when you have the confidence and when you have all of these things, it's not like winning isn't necessarily getting somebody from off the fence to sold. It's getting them into your database. So then you can nurture them and sell to them a little bit more. And then it's, oh, hey, let's set an appointment. Okay, that's the next sell. Great, let's set an appointment. Oh, hey, actually, I really want to go check out this property. I was looking at this one on your website. And this looks really kind of cool. Okay. And it's the cycle over and over and over again. It's not just one big cycle. It's a series of mini cycles.
100%. This, yeah, we say persuasion is a process, not an event.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same for your prospects and clients, is they are buying over time. They're buying into new ideas and new beliefs and stages of life and whatever the case. And what is happening when you serve the mom with a cookie, when you compliment her on how great she is at being a mom, when you show someone the valuation of their home because they live in this neighborhood too, and you serve them in that way, you know what those people do? They make sure to get Kelly's card because Kelly was ready, you know? And this is the same for everybody, car salesmen or network marketers or whoever's selling anything. Are you treating people in a way that when they are ready, they're coming to you? And that's the long game.
Yes, it is long. This is a long game, but it's worth it. It is so worth it.
And you have shown that so much. I want you to talk a little bit more about building your brokerage, because I told one of our teammates that I would be interviewing you, and she's obviously known you for years too. And I said, what do you think of when you think of Kelly, and you know, what question do you think I would ask her or should ask her? And just to see what she would say. And she said, you know, when I think of Kelly, I think that she could be just raking it in. She could just be selling homes left and right, selling Sunset Energy, do whatever she wants to do. But she chose to build up a tribe of people and to serve them. And truthfully, building something slows you down, right? Like selling, when you're not just a salesperson, but you know, when you're selling your product, it's like, well, shoot, I don't even got to deliver on this. Really, I just sell it and move on, sell it and move on. But you are truly developing people. And I just would love to hear what you think about the process of selling people on themselves, selling people on a opportunity through EXP, the recruiting process. Like I saw you transition from being part owner to this, kind of having your own franchise. So I would love to hear just any thoughts you have about that.
Sure. You know, thank you so much for that. That is truly like the highest honor. I think leaders in any industry are, like you said, you slow down a little bit, and that's just kind of, that's the give and the take. But what I feel like what the long-term gain is from it is that you're able to have a, make the industry better, like truly, like make the industry better. Like that is the goal. But it's also to impact other people's lives. And that I've been so fortunate to learn from such great mentors and from all walks of life, not only in real estate, but in business. That's like one of the number one things that people ask me, well, what real estate podcast do you listen to? I'm like, I don't. I was like, I go outside the industry. I want to know about business. I want to know how about what people are doing. And so I've had really incredible mentors that have instilled in me that you're, that there's a bigger purpose, that there's a world out there that is bigger than what you can imagine. And that's what I'm after right now. And developing people has helped me get there. And I've got a little taste, and now I'm excited about it because it's really cool. But I think especially in real estate right now, the narrative is the market's hard, the interest rate's high, like it's the market's changed. Like maybe you got into real estate a couple of years ago and it was, you know, stuck. The joke was you stuck a sign in the yard and it sold itself. And that's just not the case anymore. It's just not. And so a lot of the conversation is based on, well, how do I get cheap leads? And how do I, what's a good side hustle for real estate? Like all these things. And I just want to take all of their little faces and just be like, no, like there's a better way. And all you have to do is just commit to being a learner and commit to service. And that is literally it. That is it. And so I think it's easy to look at real estate and think of a quick buck because that's what it's been in the last couple of years, quote unquote, quick buck, right? People think it's easy to get into the, like any industry, they see someone do it well and they're like, oh, I could do that. Okay, come on. And, but I think that it's, as it changes, as it gets harder, this is where your preparation really, like there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide in between a good market or you know, a fast market, whatever. Like your preparation and your knowledge and who you surround yourself with is what is going to make or break you in this industry. And for me, I feel an absolute duty to my agents. Like you have chosen to come alongside with me. This is where we're going to focus. Because as the market shifts, you need to be prepared. And you need to be able to have the skill and the confidence to go out and have conversations with people who are doubly as nervous as they were 2 years ago. Because as the market evolves, like I mean, you've seen the headlines, you've seen the news, like everything, oh, it's crashing, everything's no, here's the facts and here's why. And that's all product knowledge.
I'm sure anyone listening to this can think, wow, I hear leadership in her voice. And that's what a guide does. And it is your duty and obligation. And it's just so obvious that over the past decade plus, you have been developed so that you could develop others. And not everyone has that call on their life, but I can tell that you do, and a lot of people do. And if you are called to leadership in any way, shape, or form, I just want to assure you that it takes some serious burn of growth, just like it does in the gym. You have to go through some serious pain to help people the way you want to. And then you can be steady. You can be sure. You can have that tone in your voice, that lion-hearted love like Kelly does for her team. And you're just getting started. What in the world? So with all that being said, that you see, I can just tell that you look at your agents like your sheep, like you're their shepherd. You know, what would you tell other people? You know, School of Sales is enrolling the last cohort of the year. It's the last time it's being offered in this way at this price for forever. It's honestly hard to even say those words out my mouth. But what would you tell someone who's thinking, I think this would be a game changer for me. I think this could change my life. What would you tell them?
I would say buckle up because it's exactly what you need in a market right now. And if you decide to go all in on anything, like the open house story, like your real estate career, like Guide Culture School of Sales, go all in on it and it is going to give back to you tenfold, truly. And I think if we want to get tangible too, I think having a framework to be able to have conversations with people especially when you're feeling not as confident. Like maybe you're not quite at the part where you have all the product knowledge and you feel confident about that. What guide culture gives you is almost like a booster seat to that. So it almost like, because it's giving you framework, it's giving you process, it's giving you structure, that structure becomes kind of your home base that allows you to step into that confidence when you might not have all the product knowledge yet. So it just kind of gives you a nice little step up and almost a leg up when it comes to diving into your own business. And that little step is what is going to put you ahead, like way down the road when other people are nervous about the market.
So beautiful. And what you said in the beginning of this is that you, as a salesperson, sales girl, can and should bring your own authenticity to this. That is the point of a framework, is to plug Kelly into the process, plug whoever into the process, and let yourself shine, because you absolutely do. Kelly, thank you so much for breathing that confidence and wisdom into someone needed that. We always say it's for God and the girlie who needed it. And there is one, hopefully 1 million real estate agents out there, or future real estate agents, or anybody who says, I feel that.
Love that.
And that gave me hope. Thank you, Kelly, so much. You're such a joy to be around, and I'm so proud of you.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.